Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus answered the Canaanite woman by saying, "It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." To which she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is our text. Of all the words that Jesus speaks to someone in his Gospels, I think these words are the ones we would most like to hear. Next to the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we would love for Jesus to say of us, "Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." I think we would all love to hear that. We would all love to be praised by Jesus for our faith. Our desire to be praised, I think, goes also hand in hand with another idea. This is not a right idea, but it's another idea that we often have. The idea that if we just have enough faith, then Jesus will listen to us and give us whatever we ask. If only we had that great faith, then he would heal our sicknesses, raise our dead, provide our daily bread, and so on. Now we have to be careful because Jesus doesn't make that promise to us. But it would be great to be praised for a great faith. Of course, Scripture also has many examples of people who are not praised for their great faith. We can think, first of all, about last Sunday with St. Peter, whom Jesus called out on the water to walk to him, and who did, only to begin sinking, to which Jesus said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And it wasn't the first time or the last time that he would say that to the disciples. In fact, even after Jesus rose from the dead, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but were told that some doubted. Great faith, little faith. I wonder if the disciples weren't a little bit jealous of this Canaanite woman after she received that praise, wondering, what do we have to do to have a great faith? Or maybe, like you, they sat in the pew and wondered and worried about why your faith isn't even greater than it is. In fact, this Canaanite woman is one of only two people in the Scriptures to receive this kind of praise. The other one is a Roman centurion who, when his servant is sick, sends for Jesus, not so that Jesus will come and heal his servant, but so that Jesus will just say the word and his servant will be well. He trusts not only in Jesus, but in the power and effectiveness of what Jesus says. Great faith is a rare gift. So what do we make of the faith of this Canaanite woman? How do we think of it as we hear this passage? The first thing we should note is this. It is Jesus and not the Canaanite woman who calls her faith great. The Canaanite woman doesn't say about herself, "Look at me, I have a great faith." In fact, that seems like the very opposite thing of what this woman would do. If you were to ask her, I think she probably wouldn't even know whether she has a great faith or a little faith or how much faith she has, because she doesn't say anything about her own faith. And she certainly doesn't come up to Jesus and say, "Now, Jesus, look at me. I have a really great faith. You really should help me. I deserve it, you know, for my great faith." She doesn't do that. She doesn't treat her faith as a work. She doesn't treat her faith as a merit. She doesn't say to herself or to others, "If I just believe enough, I'll receive whatever I ask for." And she's certainly not trying to flatter Jesus or to impress him or to gain favor with him, not like we so often do with people, buttering up to them or trying to impress them. In fact, this Canaanite woman doesn't have faith in herself. And that's one of the things we should note. She doesn't have faith in herself, and she's not looking at herself. What is her focus? Her focus is on Jesus and on her daughter's need. She's not looking in a mirror and wondering how great her faith is that day. She's looking at her daughter, who's demon-possessed, and she's looking at Jesus and calling out to him for help. The second thing we should note as we think about this woman's faith is what we heard last Sunday. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. St. Paul doesn't tell us that this is just the case sometimes. He tells us that this is always the case. Always the case that faith comes by hearing. The faith of the apostles, or lack thereof. The faith of the Canaanite woman. Your faith as well. Through the word of Christ, the word that Christ speaks and the word about Christ, the Holy Spirit creates and gives faith when and where it pleases him. Now, we don't know when this Canaanite woman heard about Jesus. We don't know where she heard it. We don't know from whom she heard it. But we do know that she did. She heard and believed. I wonder if she might have heard it at the local market, maybe just eavesdropping on a conversation. Maybe it was that game of telephone where it went from one person to another, to another, to another, but it got to her in a clear fashion and she believed it. So what do we do if we feel like our faith is small? What do we do if we think that our faith is weak? What do we do when we look at ourselves in the mirror and see that our faith isn't what we want it to be? Well, hear the word of God. The answer is not to turn inward or to look more closely in the mirror. The answer is to look at Jesus and to hear him. And what did this Canaanite woman believe? Well, she believed certain things about Jesus. This is key. It's not just faith in general that matters, but faith in him. We see this in the way that she addresses him, in the prayer that she makes. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. What does that tell us about what she believes? She believes that Jesus is full of mercy. Have mercy on me. She believes that Jesus is her Lord. She calls him, O Lord, her master. She believes that he is the son of David, descended from David, and so the rightful ruler of Israel and savior of Israel, the one who had been promised long ago. She believes in some way that he has the power to answer her prayer, to heal and restore the sick. And she believes that his mission extends beyond the children of Israel, even to people like her. To a Gentile, a Canaanite woman, the ancient enemies of Israel. If you were to ask the apostles for whom Jesus came, and they were to draw circles, the people of Israel first, maybe those who believe what the people of Israel believe, I suspect that the Canaanites would have been way out on the fringes. And yet she believes that Jesus came for her. And in fact, there are greater things than these. Greater reasons than these that we have to believe in Jesus. The things that she believes find their focus ultimately in Jesus' death on the cross. There is our Lord who is full of mercy and whom we claim to be ours. There is the one who is the Son of David but crucified, whom the Father will raise from the dead. There is the one who by his dying and bleeding provides help and rescue for all in their time of need. And there is the one who stretches out his arms to grab not just the children of Israel, but the entire world and you under his wings. So what do you believe about Jesus? And what do you believe about his work? What do you believe based on what you hear in the scriptures? Because that's what matters for this woman. It's not what's inside of her, but it's what's outside of her that she's holding on to that matters. Of course, even this, what she believes, doesn't mean that she gets royal treatment from Jesus. Her great faith doesn't earn her an immediate answer to her prayers. Jesus doesn't take like an X-ray vision and say, "Wow, this one's got a great faith. Sure, you got it, whatever you want." No, you heard what we read. Her faith becomes great through the affliction that she undergoes. Her faith becomes great through the affliction that she undergoes. Only 8 verses in the Gospel of Matthew, but boy, is it packed with drama. Martin Luther once said that a theologian is made by 3 things: by prayer, by meditation, and by something that's difficult to translate. In the German, it was called Anfechtung. It sounds kind of serious. Anfechtung, which translates as suffering or trial or temptation or affliction. I don't so mind the part about being made a theologian by prayer, though I should do more of it, or by meditation on God's word, but I'm not so sure I want to be made a theologian by Anfechtung, by trial and suffering. But it seems that where there is no affliction, where there is no suffering, where there is no difficulty, faith will never be great. Great faith becomes great because of what it undergoes, as it gets purified and forged and tempered. And so it was for this woman. Think about those 8 verses, what she went through. She comes because she hears the word about Jesus and she asks him for mercy. She literally begs for it. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." And what does she get? She gets a big, fat, nothing burger. Jesus didn't even answer her a word. Not one word. Silence can be a killer. I know we experience it sometimes too. What, we say, doesn't he hear? Is he preoccupied? Is he mad at me? Is he rude? What gives? And that would be hard enough if the disciples weren't also trying to get rid of her. If she had someone else to be an advocate or a help for her, but they just want to get rid of her. Ouch. How's that for a reception? After Jesus fed the 5,000, he dismissed the crowds, well-fed and satisfied, but this woman is going to be dismissed, sent away with nothing. That's what they want. It also makes me think about the way we receive people here among us at our Savior. Are we ever like the apostles, where we just want to send people away, dismiss them? Do we welcome them with joy? How do we speak about the people that we meet here at church? And I don't just mean new people, because sometimes it's really easy to be friendly with the new people. But what about the one you haven't seen in a while? What about the brother or sister in Christ with whom you don't have a particular friendship? Would you send them away with nothing? And then Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And the implication is clear. The Gentile woman and her daughter aren't included. Now, it may sound strange to us that Jesus says this, but it does express something that is clear from his earthly ministry. His primary focus when he walked and talked and came among us in flesh and blood that we could see and touch and hear, his primary focus was on the people of Israel and not on the surrounding nations. There are times and places where he interacts with other people, but it's primarily to Israel that he was sent. That'll change in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Peter and others will go to distant peoples and far lands, but not so much Jesus. So to me, that sounds like 3 strikes and you're out. He doesn't say a word. The disciples want to send her away. And then when Jesus does speak, he says, "I didn't come for you." But she doesn't go away. What a woman. What a dogged determination she has. She presses on. She says, Lord, help me. And that's when the worst of all comes. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. By which he's saying, this woman, this Canaanite woman, yes, is a dog. The children's bread is meant for children, and you don't give dogs what is holy. And we're not talking probably about the friendly sort of pooch dog that you have at home. Dogs at this time were not particularly friendly. They were wild. You didn't want them hanging around your table so much. It's not right. The people of Israel are the children. Everyone else are the dogs. And the woman says, Amen, you're right. But she finds a little opening in his argument. A little chink in our Lord's armor. And believe me, our Lord knows it's there. And he wants it to be there. A little room for this woman to receive from him. For her faith to grow even greater. So what about those dogs, Jesus? What about the dogs? Because even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So if you're talking about the bread for the children, give it to the children, but I better get the scraps. She's like a puppy here, like her big eyes on her master. She won't go away, not without something, not without table scraps or leftovers or a bone to gnaw. And she doesn't go away. But think about what she went through to get to that point. The silence, the dismissal, the even what seems to be rudeness or lack of care and interest. And what have you gone through? What are the things that you ask Jesus for, and either you get silence or you seem to get a no or dismissed or whatever it might be? What are the trials that you have to endure? Because that's where your faith grows. Not grows by looking at yourself, but by continually turning and looking at him. And I wonder, would you be content? Would I be content if all I got were scraps from my master's table? Would that be enough for me? Oh, it sure would. You better believe the scraps that fall from his table. They're like nothing you've ever seen before. We know what Satan desires through testing, through suffering and trials. Satan desires to create a wall between us and God. He desires to put a wedge between us and our Lord. He desires to drive us off from Jesus. But our God is working through such things as well, and he is working to bring us closer and closer still. God doesn't tempt us, but he does strengthen us through testing. So endure, dear friends. Endure even when it seems like you're suffering slights and insults. Endure as you look up to this Canaanite woman and see the way that she hounds our Lord and will not run away. And after all, what do we think we are? Do we really deserve better than this? Are we greater than this Canaanite woman? Didn't we just confess to being poor, pitiful sinners? Why would we be something special? And yet we are to our Lord, who is happy to give us not just the scraps, but to give us the whole load. Why, here we are, and our Lord has a table set. And what does he put on the table for us? Yes, to the eyes of the world, it may not look like much, but from the mouth of our Lord, we know what it is. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Is that enough for you today? Enough from your master's table? In fact, from your master's very body and blood, from his sacrifice for you on the cross? To me, it seems like the disciples, when they met this Canaanite woman, had a mentality that said, there's not enough Jesus to go around. There's not enough Jesus. We get him, not you. Only enough for the children. But then remember that feeding of the 5,000? They all ate and were satisfied. starting with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they had how many baskets left over? 12? Enough for all Israel? And then the feeding of the 4,000 later in a Gentile territory, they all eat and are satisfied, and they have how many baskets left over? 7? Enough for all the Gentile nations surrounding? And still the disciples think as if there's a competition, as if you get something good from Jesus, then I won't. As if there's a competition for his attention or for his mercy or what falls from his table. Dear friends, there is no competition. There is no scarcity with our Lord. It's not like Jesus says, well, I've only got this much, so if I give you something, someone else is going to go short. Grace isn't like that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is true man, is also true God. And because he is true God, he can do what only God can do. He can make way more than enough for every one of us. Be it done for you as you believe. It's like Genesis all over again. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be healing for this woman's daughter, and there was healing. Let there be forgiveness, life, and salvation. And there it is for you. And it is very good. And it is enough. So what is it about her faith? Well, it's really all about her Jesus. Her faith is what Jesus gives and draws out of her through the trial that she faces. And he does the same for us, though it is painful and we often do not see it happening. He does it. And she receives him by faith alone. You, dear friends, receive from him as well. Whether your faith is the faith of the apostles, which is about this big, or the faith of the Canaanite woman, which is called great, you receive what Jesus gives. Take him at his word. More than just the crumbs, the whole Jesus with all his saving gifts and all his promises. Yes, great is her faith, but greater still is her Jesus and your Jesus as well. In his name, amen.